Joined in studio this morning by Lise Hand, who is a political journalist and columnist with the Journal.ie, and Hugh O'Connell, who is political correspondent at Independent Newspapers, to go through this morning's papers. Just before we do that, because Lise is a contributor to the Journal.ie, and because that is an outlet where myself and Hugh have both worked at some time in the past, I just wanted to send a message of solidarity to them this morning. There was some pretty unseemly scenes outside their offices yesterday, and something of an attempt of intimidation for them at the coverage that they're doing of COVID-19. Lads, keep at it, keep her lit, don't change a thing. Let's have a look at the front pages of this morning's newspapers. We'll start with the Sunday Times. The FAI paid €1 million to cover Delaney's personal bills. This is an extract from the book which has been written by Mark Tighe and Paul Rowan, summarising all of their reporting on the FAI and John Delaney. They picked up a bill for almost €1 million of his personal expenditure during his last 5 years as chief executive, according to an unpublished report. He was also on a salary, of course, of €360,000 a year at that time. He also cost about €1 million in excess spending, which included €125,000 in personal expenditure on his FAI credit card, which included $50,000 in cash withdrawals. Also on the sidebar there, former Prime Ministers Tony Blair and John Major today accused Boris Johnson of bringing shame on the country by undermining the rule of law and jeopardising the Northern Ireland peace process, more about which we'll discuss in a few minutes. The Business Post: Martin Banks on new COVID plans as Fianna Fáil hits record poll low. The government is set to launch a €600 million winter funding package and allow 5,000 spectators to access matches at Croke Park and at Aviva Stadium as part of plans to manage the ongoing COVID-19 crisis. The move comes as today's Red Sea Business Post poll shows Fianna Fáil support at a record low and a large drop in overall support for the government's handling of the virus. Taoiseach Micheál Martin's leadership of the party will come under further scrutiny as Fianna Fáil support has dropped from 15% in May to 10% now, its worst ever result in a Business Post Red Sea poll. Front page of the Irish Mail on Sunday: angry, ignored and exhausted, demoralised Neffet feel undermined by the politics of the COVID battle. Glynn giving separate updates to the royal courts of Martin and Varadkar, and a growing minority questioning if herd immunity might be the answer. Public health chiefs are exhausted and increasingly feeling undermined by politicians, sources tell the Irish Mail on Sunday. Neffet insiders have told of growing demoralisation due to a combination of the resurgence of the virus and a seeming shift in how the government is interacting with the powerful committee that has led the state pandemic response. The Mail on Sunday has been told that the duelling courts of the Taoiseach and Tánaiste within the government mean that the rival partners are regularly briefed separately. I can't get my head around why that would be possibly necessary at all. And the front page of the Sunday Independent: tight controls and all activities until April. Strict limits on household, indoor and sporting events will still be in place until next April, even under the government's best case scenario for living with COVID-19. This is a story by Hugh O'Connell. Hugh, what's in this poll, or with this plan? And more importantly, how important is it for the government to actually get the communications right this time?
Oh, it's very important, I think, given the miscommunication of various aspects of the COVID-19 restrictions over the last 2 months since this coalition came to office. To answer your question as to what's in the plan, that's still being finalised this weekend. And, you know, I think there's various drafts that have circulated in government over the last few days. And speaking to people who've had sight of these drafts yesterday, certainly, you know, if you look at one of the elements of it in terms of the exemptions for sporting events and allowing more hundreds more people to attend sporting events, that's very much up in the air at the moment. The draft that one of the people I spoke to had seen spoke about 400 or 500 people being allowed to attend a certain venue as long as it had a capacity of 5,000. But there's a big push in government to increase that, which is why you're seeing stories today about 5,000 at Croke Park or the Aviva Stadium. Mm. But I think, I think the 500 limit for smaller sporting events might be increased again, because I think there's a huge desire within government and among ministers to get more people in at sporting events. You know, they're outdoor. It's certainly a safer place. But obviously, we had the move to put sporting events behind closed doors because there was a feeling that people travelling to and from these events was allowing the virus to spread. And there were certain case studies where that was the case.
I presume the 5,000 would only be in the most benign scenario. So it's only if you're at the level one of the five.
You're talking about level one. So we do have a bit of detail in the Sunday Independent today around the various levels and what it would mean in terms of indoor and outdoor gatherings. And you know, it was best described to me as the quote from the senior government source on the front page of the paper today, is effectively level five, which is the most restrictive, is where we were in March. Level four is kind of a more diluted version of that. And then as you move down to level three is kind of where Leash, Offaly and Kildare were a few weeks ago. Level two is probably where we are now. Mm. And level one is a slightly more benign version of that. Yeah. But we're certainly...
But level one is still not going to be normality by any means at all, is
absolutely
it?
Absolutely not. No, this is the living with COVID plan. So this is really about, adjusting our lives in the way in which we already have over the last 6 months to effectively live with the virus and to, have restrictions in place around large indoor gatherings and even large outdoor gatherings. So, the idea of concerts and festivals and all these kind of things, these are things that are going to have to have major restrictions in place for the foreseeable future because we don't have a vaccine, basically.
Lise, there's an awful lot riding on the ability of the government to communicate this properly, which probably explains why they're bringing in outside PR help as well as their own legion of special advisors to help them get it right.
Well, this is it. I mean, the place is coming down with special advisors and...
Can't move for them.
It can't move for them. So, but yes, they have actually elicited the help of an outside firm, Tenio, to try and put a shape on the rollout of the living with COVID plan. But essentially, everybody suspects it's just to try and put kind of some shape on the chaotic communications and messaging coming out of government. I still do kind of scratch my head at the irony of, the current Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, been one of the person who shouted and jumped up and down the loudest about the dismantling of the SCU back in the day, which, rightly had, it had taken the wrong turn and it had become a political machine. But, it was set up with the best of intentions, which was to take the extraordinary number of press and PR people that are knocking around government circles and teach them how to do their job, how to not silo themselves away, how to talk to each other as well as the general public. The original idea of setting up that a communications unit was a good one, but it got sidetracked. And now we have a situation where they've all these advisors in, but there seems to be no shape, an internal shape and structure of how they talk to each other, how departments actually communicate information, which is also exacerbated by the fact that there are now royal courts, it turns out, that are getting separate briefings. So,
Can you fathom any explanation at all as to why that might be the case, other than the fact that they're tripping over special advisors and they can't fit them all in one room at the same time?
It's insane. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. You would think that one of this, if you even go back to the very start, Gavin, of this government, the first thing that happened was a massive row over the fact there was no minister for the West of Ireland. Why did that happen? Because like the two heads of the respective parties putting together the government.
Yeah,
not so much
thinking,
Ryan,
and they didn't
one.
Coordinate.
They didn't coordinate. So no, they didn't actually cop on that there was no minister in the West. So really, from that point on, it's just gone downhill. Like, the Jamaican bobsleigh team, it's hurtled to you can't see the end. And, so I'm not surprised they've taken a step to try and bring in some kind of coordination. But they need to, it is incredibly important to get this message right. But they also, as Hugh says, we're going to be living with this, and they have to put in a coordinated message, not go back to the chaos of the green list and this. If they have, one phases one to, DEFCON 1, DEFCON 5, whatever, they need to make sure that everybody knows within those what's happening, when it's going to happen. And we don't have a scenario that we are not sure if we're going to be going into maybe a greater lockdown here in Dublin next week because they want to wait and announce everything together. Well, is that just, is that the best communications message, saying we're going to wait rather than actually sort of do it maybe 3 days ago when maybe going into lockdown might have made a difference over the weekend?
I wonder how much less popular that Fianna Fáil could be in Dublin, because the Business Post poll that we're going to talk about now has them 10% nationally. They're only at 4% in Dublin, which is an extraordinarily low amount. But I suppose, it is it in any way surprising, really, Hugh, that Fianna Fáil would be as low as 10%, or that they would have dropped 5 points, given that the last poll was taken pre-government and that things obviously haven't gone too well since?
Yeah, no, it's not surprising. And I think it's indicative of the problem that has beset Fianna Fáil in recent years, is like, where do they stand and who do they stand for, and why would you vote for them above Fine Gael if you have a certain belief in the way in which the country should be run, and perhaps less of a reliance on the state and more kind of reliance on private industry and stuff like that, and that in all aspects, in terms of housing and health and all these kind of things. And then, you have Sinn Féin on the other side of the spectrum, calling for massive ramp up in state investment in housing and all these kind of things. Things which Fianna Fáil like to talk about as well, but certainly Sinn Féin have talked about it more loudly, more coherently, and have more, frankly, better spokespeople when it comes to people like Eoin Óibríonn, ahead of the actual housing minister right now, Dara O'Brien. So it's been difficult in that space for Fianna Fáil to carve out an identity. And now you have them in government with a party, Fine Gael, who were widely praised for their handling of the pandemic. People like Leo Varadkar and Simon Harris, whose own personal popularity reached kind of stratospheric levels during the height of the pandemic.
But then people just the question not overly is, though, how come Fine Gael's support isn't sliding to the same degree? Because they are in government together. Yeah, the Greens haven't slided.
Well, I think primarily it's because you have Micheál Martin has taken over as Taoiseach. People do not view him as positively as they did Leo Varadkar during the pandemic. And Stephen Donnelly has replaced Simon Harris in health. And as we know, it's been a very difficult few weeks for Stephen Donnelly because he's done a series of disastrous interviews. He miscommunicated the government's own restrictions and that mess had to be cleaned up by the Taoiseach's department. And there just isn't that degree of competency and assurance and coherence that was there when Leo Varadkar and Simon Harris were managing things. At least that's, I think, the public's view of things.
Maybe they can bounce back, though, like a trampoline.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I think that is possible. It is eminently possible for all of them to recover. I mean, look at Norma Foley, for example, someone who had a very difficult opening few weeks in government, a series of difficult interviews, including with myself. Mm-hmm. But in recent weeks has really come to the fore, I think, has really managed both the reopening of schools and the delivery of the Leaving Cert results in a pretty good way, done a series of very competent interviews across broadcast media, and has exhibited a level of assurance, I think, that has been poorly lacking in lots of other elements of this government.
Lise, there's been plenty of death knells sounded for Fianna Fáil before, not least in the last decade, and they've always managed to find a way to come back and to now find themselves indeed in government. But the circumstances weren't always like they are right now, where there are two big beast other parties that they have to try and compete with. It's going to be difficult to try and arrest this slide, isn't it?
Yes, it will. And I think there's also a problem, again, within the party where you just have Micheál Martin sitting fairly uneasily, even, in the head of the head of his own party. I mean, a day doesn't go by where there isn't a story about another disaffected or disgruntled, backbencher or senior member of his party, given out to him about it. And there's, you have Jim O'Callaghan, who's would fancy his chances on this extraordinary
maybe not
name,
at 4% in Dublin, though, he mightn't.
Well, yeah, but he's off around the country doing his renewal and strengthening. It makes him sound like some kind of, self-help guru, these sort of seminars.
Some sort of wellness advocate,
Some kind of wellness advocate. And, so he's out there doing, doing those, and there's open speculation that he's going to take over, but will it be sooner rather than later?
Is that why then Micheál Martin chose this week to start sniping back at some of them? So when Mark McSharry was having a go at Leo Varadkar for running rings around him, that Micheál took the opportunity to bite back this time?
Yes, I think so, because Mark McSharry, he has form in this regard, and it does come to a stage really when Mark McSharry opens his mouth, everybody just eye rolls, because there's just too much of it, and I think that Micheál now realizes that he really has to, before he can even sort out the communications issues with how himself and the Greens get on, how himself and Fine Gael get on, he's got to try and put some kind of structure on his party and say, look, we're in this for the, we do hang together, we hang separately. I mean, it really is. I mean, those polls will either have two effects. They'll either galvanise everybody to stop sniping and to try and save the party, or else you will see this long, slow slide into some kind of heave where rubber knives are slowly and stealthily coming out of the sheets,
The idea that they're rubbery knives.
I think that's kind of what's motivating the likes of McSharry and stuff like that, is this fear that Fianna Fáil is kind of slipping into irrelevancy. And as kind of loud and as brash as he is, I think he did kind of hit on something, this idea that the Taoiseach is kind of running rings around the Taoiseach at these press conferences. Certainly some of the press conferences I've been to, you have found that Micheál Martin hasn't been as kind of clear and coherent as
he's not a man for a soundbite.
He's not a man for a soundbite, which is both a good and a bad thing.
But people think that Leo Varadkar is being mischievous by actively running a rings around it. But I don't know whether that's totally fair, because Leo Varadkar is also the head of a government party and he has responsibilities to go out and do media.
But I think it's hard not to interpret it as a degree of mischief. I mean, it certainly has the effect of undermining Micheál Martin when Leo Varadkar is saying things that the government is proposing to do that are a bit different, when he's talking about we need to reopen the pubs before there's even an announcement or an agreement at cabinet about that. I think he's looking out for his own party's interests. He's also looking out for his own self-interest, because he knows that he's going to be back in the position of Taoiseach in 2 years' time. One of the interesting things that somebody said to me in government this week was that through the whole Brexit, Micheál Martin's first Brexit crisis this week, there was the relations between the Fine Gael element and the Fianna Fáil element of government were pretty good, and they were all wearing the green jersey and it was all great. And one of the things they said was that he's actually getting more respect, Micheál Martin is getting more respect in government than he is from his own parliamentary party, which I think says a lot about his standing at the moment.
But just go back to your original point. I mean, if you think back to 10 years ago when Fianna Fáil were you know, in absolute disarray. We were, you know, they were coming to, you know, coming up to their absolute, the election where they got hammered.
Yeah, we were remarking earlier on that the last time that Fianna Fáil were at 10% in an opinion poll was in the Sunday Independent 10 years ago this weekend. And that was because it's 10 years tomorrow since Garglegate, with that infamous Morning Ireland interview at the Ardilaun Hotel.
That's right, yes. I was there for to witness the whole thing unfold in all its in glory. But the
probably remember it better than a lot of people who were there.
I do, actually. Because we were all running on adrenaline that day, I'll tell you. But if you think back, you know, to their disaster showing in the 2011 election, they were completely out of, you know, they were out of favour. They were on the naughty step. People were said to never vote for them again. But there's something more dangerous for Fianna Fáil than that kind of outright hostility. And that's indifference. And this is where they could be now, as Hugh rightly said, that they're becoming, you know, irrelevant because people can't really see the difference, a reason to specifically vote for them. And that is far more dangerous. And it's also far more difficult for them to strategize their way out of how to become relevant again. It's easier to become popular again. Becoming relevant again is a steep hill to climb for them.
Which is remarkable, Hugh, in a way, because, you know, you surely are never more relevant than when you're actually in government, at the lead of government, you know, holding the office of Taoiseach and making the big decisions. That it's sort of weird that they seem like they've been sidelined from political opinion, and now it's now just Sinn Féin versus Fine Gael, when in fact, you know, they're still in government.
Yeah, no,
it's only
absolutely
a few months since they've been there.
Look, I think the reality is if you go out and walk down Grafton Street now and you ask people who the Taoiseach is, you're not going to get a universal answer saying it's Micheál Martin. Like, you're going to be some people are going to be saying, oh, is it Leo Varadkar? You know, this idea that's taken hold in the last few weeks of the two Taoiseach, like, it's entirely true, because you know, Leo Varadkar is such a prominent part of this government. I mean, go back to Wednesday, for example. He goes on RTÉ and on Morning Ireland, and he talks about the Brexit plan, the Brexit preparedness plan, that is then launched an hour later by the Taoiseach. So, you know, you have this kind of, although, you know, there's a piece in the Business Post today that says this was all agreed by the governments, the various government parties. It does have this effect, I think, in the public's mind of Leo Varadkar sort of just still being so prominent in that he's almost at par with Micheál Martin, whereas, you know, Micheál Martin is the Taoiseach. He does have the sort of executive power that a Taoiseach doesn't have. But it's difficult for the public to identify that. And that's going to be an ongoing problem for Micheál Martin, at the same time as he's coming under massive pressure from within his own parliamentary party. And the likes of Mark McSharry are not going to go away. No. They're going to get louder. And there's going to be more Mark McSharrys, I would say.
Lise, is it just the nature of the way that the government's been designed, where we're trying to have two chiefs when there's only supposed to be one, and people just can't get to grips with the idea? Is that part of what's Fianna Fáil's malaise here?
Yes, I mean, it definitely is. And, you know, it's almost not quite, it's not fair to say it's a lame duck, sort of the beginning of this government. But, you know, there is a, unlike most administrations where you have some time run in, you know, in the seat of power, you know, over the 5 years, there is a definite cutoff point. You know, it's December 2022 when, you know, Fianna Fáil hand over the keys to the Taoiseach's office back to Leo Varadkar, or whoever else is running Fine Gael at that stage. And, you know, so you're always sort of you know, the party's always hamstrung by that knowing that they're not getting a clear run at it. There was a line in one, and I can't remember which piece it was in, so my apologies to the journalist. But sort of making the point that, you know, even in sort of the civil servants and the sort of the members of permanent government, they're not sure whether to kind of keep on being nice to Micheál Martin, or they should be, should they be nice to Leo, because he's going to be the boss back in 2 years' time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're in an unprecedented
that's
situation,
dangerous.
But they don't, you know, there are people are still trying to get their heads around it. And you have the general public are confused, but also civil service too.
At the end of the day, the former Taoiseach is still roaming around government buildings and will be Taoiseach in government buildings in 2 years' time, and I imagine that's enormously confusing.
It must be very, very difficult for them to
have
to work
advisors
with.
Behind him.
Things exactly. That are not difficult is that you two have both drawn the long straw this morning, and you don't have to talk about Brexit, because we'll be talking to Jonathan Powell and Philip about what's going on with Brexit when we're back after this.